Amanda, thanks for being here on JPR today.
Happy to be here.
First of all, can you talk a little about the sage grouse and explain why this decision is such a big deal?
Sure. So sage grouse are a chicken-sized bird that need broad expanses of intact sagebrush habitat to survive. They're known for their sort of bizarre and fascinating mating dance that happens each spring. These birds are what biologists refer to as an umbrella species, so they're a kind of signal to ecological health across their entire habitat span. Historically, there were millions across the entire western U.S., but today the U.S. Fish and Wildlife estimates that there are between 200 and 500,000 remaining. There's about 26,000 in Oregon. They're affected by a number of human impacts, including livestock grazing, oil and gas drilling, fires, and especially here in Oregon, juniper encroachment. So those are the reasons for the species' decline. An endangered species designation would have come with some sweeping restrictions for land users, including ranchers and the oil and gas industry and other human activities. So the decision not to list means that the Obama administration believes that the conservation of the grouse can occur without those broader rules and restrictions.
Okay, so how was Oregon involved in this whole process?
Well, each of the 11 states involved had to develop a conservation plan for the grouse, including Oregon, and the state's plan focused on rangeland improvements like taking out invasive juniper trees and cheatgrass. Governor Kate Brown called the non-listing decision a win-win.
Oregon is one of the states that led the way to this decision, and we did it by working together. We created new rules that ensure future land use and economic development is consistent with the conservation of the sage grouse.
Many of Oregon leaders point to the voluntary conservation agreement signed on by ranchers as a signal of the success of the program. Jerome Rosa is with the Oregon Cattlemen's Association. He says that ranchers have been working voluntarily to improve grouse habitat, in part because those improvements benefit cattle too.
It wasn't just cattlemen that didn't want to see the sage grouse list, but there was many other conservation and environmental groups that didn't want to see the sage grouse. And the idea was to improve the habitat out there for the sage grouse.
In Oregon, the main reason for sage grouse decline is grazing, rather, and that's a little different than in other states where oil and gas drilling are also factors.
Now, the whole point of the exercise here was to get voluntary agreements to do habitat conservation so that it wouldn't be necessary to actually list them, which would bring down all these endangered species restrictions. So how are environmental groups taking the decision not to list?
Well, many environmental groups were actually pretty involved in those collaborative efforts, so they're cheering on the decision. They believe that the plans on the ground are sufficient to protect the bird. But I did speak with Randy Spivak. She's with the Center for Biological Diversity, and she was still reviewing the final conservation plans when I spoke with her, but she says based on earlier versions of the government's plan, without the protections of an ESA listing, sage grouse could still be in a lot of trouble.
In general, the plans do not address or recognize the threat that livestock is to sage grouse, including in Oregon.
Spivak also said that, in general, the plans that the government has presented don't follow science and will not go far enough to restore sage grouse populations.
Did your source at the Center for Biological Diversity suggest that they might sue if they felt as though the voluntary plans were not adequate to save the sage grouse?
She said that that was definitely on the table. Her group is going to review the full decision and make a call probably later this week.
Okay, Amanda, thanks for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
Amanda Peacher covers Central Oregon for OPB. I'm Liam Moriarty.